Okay, are there any readers in here? Do you ever just want to curl up on the sofa and read a good book or watch a good movie? Hard to find a good movie these days, but we still long to see one every now and then. My mother loved to read. She was a reader. My grandmother, her mother, was a reader. She never watched TV except for the 10 o'clock news. Now, she would sit in the room with you, but she would be reading a book. She could read anywhere from 2 to 4 books a week, depending on how much housework she had to get done. We all know that the focus of novels, movies, and plays are usually the heroes. As humans, we never seem to tire of hearing and telling stories about heroes. We have even invented a special category, the superhero, because sometimes the threat seems so dire that no one less than a hero's hero can save the day. My grandson, Slade, he's 5, and he's right at the age for superheroes. And he loves them all. Superman, Batman, Spider-Man, Captain America, Iron Man, Thor, half of them I don't know. He can quickly recognize them, and he can tell you all about what they do. I have some heroes in my life, too, but I look for different virtues in my heroes than what Slade is looking for. One of my heroes is Reverend Billy Graham. So many years he has served the Lord, and he's kept his focus straight ahead on the cross of Jesus Christ. I remember reading an article. It's been several years ago. Matter of fact, we were still living on Sylvan, and we've moved twice since then. So it's been many years ago that I read this. But it talked about how Reverend Graham never allowed himself to be involved with the money that was sent into the organization. He had set his salary, and it seems like at that time it was $60,000 a year. He never asked for a raise. He said all he needed was what could support his family. He said that he didn't preach to get rich. He preached because the Lord told him to. And there have been many evangelists who have fell to the temptation of greed. But Reverend Graham has managed to keep his focus on the Lord that he serves. Another hero that I have is my husband. Neil and I have certainly had our disagreements, but I admire his ability to focus on a task and do that task well. At work, he does his work as if he's working to please his Savior. I've met and talked with a lot of his coworkers, and they are very quick to let me know that Neil is good at what he does. And I know he is. I see the drive that's in him. And Neil also loves Jesus. He seeks to do what is right and live in a way that pleases Jesus. Well, the Bible is full of heroes too. Heroes of the faith. Men and women who made a difference for God and for God's people through acts of valor, sacrifice, or benevolence. Some of these heroes appeared only for a moment on the biblical history stage. They performed their heroic act in the power of the living God, then withdrew into everyday life like a wave receding into the ocean. It's as though they were born just for that moment and purpose. Well, Esther could be described as that kind of hero. Her life was filled with paradoxes. She was born into the covenant people of God, but grew up in exile outside the promised land. Orphaned as a young girl, but raised well by a brave and godly cousin. Lived virtually unknown one moment, then reigned as the queen of Persia the next. Enjoyed the luxury of palace life one day, but faced the threat of genocide the next. Esther would never have called herself a hero. But ask any Jew who celebrates the festival of Purim each year whether she was a hero. We were left somewhat hanging last week, you remember? Of course, we could go ahead and read the story, but today's lesson is very good, and I hope that you'll pay attention and glean what our Lord wants us to learn. So turn in your Bibles to Esther chapter 4. We're going to begin reading today with verse 6. So Hathach went out to Mordecai in the city square that was in front of the king's gate. Now, when Mordecai learned of Haman's success in obtaining signed orders to exterminate the Jews, he began a loud public display of bitter mourning within the city, including the area just outside the palace entrance. And he was joined in those public acts of lamentation by Jews throughout the empire. But it was Mordecai's actions outside the palace that came to Esther's attention and struck her with fear. What caused Esther to be overcome with fear? Did she fear for her cousin Mordecai's safety? Had she learned of the death decree? Was she afraid that her Jewish heritage was about to be discovered? Well, probably all of these reasons motivated Esther to quickly send a trusted servant to learn what Mordecai was doing and why. Hathach, a royal servant assigned to oversee the queen's living quarters, found Mordecai in the open area in front of the palace entrance. A curious Persian law prohibited anyone wearing sackcloth from entering past the gate. Mordecai obeyed the law, but he used the prominence of the open square in front of the gate to let his distress be known. Verses 7 and 8. And Mordecai told him all that had happened to him and the sum of money that Haman had promised to pay into the king's treasuries to destroy the Jews. He also gave him a copy of the written decree for their destruction, which was given at Shushan, that he might show it to Esther and explain it to her, and that he might command her to go into the king to make supplication to him and plead before him for her people. Mordecai was not surprised nor angry that Esther sent a servant instead of coming herself. He understood the queen's situation. He did not expect her to visit a man in his condition at a public location. To do so would put both of them in danger of the king's wrath. But still, Mordecai took risk in revealing to Hathach all that had happened. Think about it. A servant of the king might report the news to the king, or worse, leak the information to Haman. But Mordecai trusted Esther's judgment in sending this particular servant. He told Hathach about the genocide order, including the amount of the bribe Haman paid to secure the king's approval. This detail may have been intended to underscore the enormous investment Haman had made in securing his vendetta against the Jews. Mordecai wanted Esther to have no doubts about the danger of the situation and the urgent need for action. He also didn't want her to have any hesitation concerning his accuracy or that of the messenger. Mordecai gave Hathach a copy of the decree to show Esther. Hathach was to take the document to the queen, explain it to her, and then command her to intercede personally before the king for her people. Now, the Hebrew word command is a strong verb in an intensive form. Hathach may have winced at the thought of delivering an order to the queen. But Mordecai knew that the situation called for urgent action by the queen. The same verb appears in chapter 2, verse 10, where Mordecai charged Esther not to reveal her Jewish identity. The time and situation had now arisen to which Esther needed to take a bold stand for God's people. As believers, we have the responsibility to act on the truth we have. When we know about a need, we have an opportunity, an obligation to try to meet the need as directed by the Lord. Conscious action may involve sacrifice and risk. Courageous Christians may certainly trust God to be with them as they follow His leading to help others. Verse 9. So Hathach returned and told Esther the words of Mordecai. Hathach was in a conflicted position. Mordecai's words not only had indicted Haman, but also had revealed the king's guilt of accepting a bribe. Many servants might have immediately reported such a conversation to the authorities. But Hathach demonstrated the reason that Esther's confidence in him was not misplaced. He returned to the queen and faithfully delivered Mordecai's message and decree to her. Verses 10 through 12. Then Esther spoke to Hathach and gave him a command for Mordecai. All the king's servants and the people of the king's provinces know that any man or woman who goes into the inner court to the king who has not been called, he has but one law, put all to death except the one to whom the king holds out the golden scepter that he may live. Yet I myself have not been called to go into the king these 30 days. So they told Mordecai Esther's words. Esther continued to use her trusted servant Hathach as her intermediary and responded to Mordecai. She was hesitant to act as directed, fearing for her life. Everyone knew that the death penalty could be imposed on anyone who tried to approach the king without being summoned. This law was in place to enhance the prestige of the royal court and help protect the king from potential assassins. Esther had not been summoned by the king for 30 days, which was a relatively long time for a queen to be absent from the king. She may have been concerned that she had lost favor with the king. Her only hope of survival would be for the king to extend the gold scepter, indicating his permission to approach. Should the king not feel kindly toward Esther, she was doomed. Esther's dilemma reminds us that obedience to God can involve taking risk. However, the risk of obedience are well worth taking. Like Esther, we as believers can sometimes encounter the possibility of serious consequences for following God's commands. However, devoted believers are willing to set aside personal fears as they obey a faithful God. Esther sent Hathach back to Mordecai with her hesitant response, making a second trip to talk with Mordecai may have put the messenger in an even more difficult position. Other officials could notice his actions and report them to Haman. The stark nature of verse 12 suggests that Hathach simply reported the facts. Verses 13 and 14. And Mordecai told them to answer Esther, "Do not think in your heart that you will escape in the king's palace any more than all the other Jews. For if you remain completely silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place. But you and your father's house will perish. Yet who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this." Esther continued to use her trusted servant So Mordecai quickly sent a second message to Esther. He appealed to common sense and to God's providence in an effort to prod Esther to act. His first reply focused on Esther's self-interest. He reminded her that she would not escape death simply because she lived in the king's palace. The decree condemned all the Jews throughout the provinces under his rule. Every Jew, without exception, was scheduled to die. Mordecai wanted Esther to understand that her life was in peril whether she acted to intercede or not. By approaching the king, she did have a chance at survival. Her fate and that of her people were inseparably bound together. Secondly, Mordecai reminded Esther that God was capable of providing deliverance for his covenant people, with or without her participation. He didn't mention God directly, but the phrase "from another place" points to Mordecai's faith in the Lord God to act on behalf of his people. Mordecai was convinced that God had uniquely positioned Esther to be an instrument by which he would deliver his people. Esther would not fulfill that role, however, by keeping silent at the moment of truth. Mordecai urged her to reflect on the purpose of her life, not against the backdrop of personal goals or fears, but in alignment with the panorama of divine purposes. Well, just like Esther, as followers of Jesus Christ today, we can sometimes find ourselves in difficult, maybe even dangerous situations while serving the Lord. It is not hard to imagine that happening as we look around some of the areas of this city. We might be tempted at those times to go into hiding, either physically or figuratively. Mordecai's question to Esther can strengthen us to take bold action for the Lord. And in His power, has God positioned us for such a time as this? Think about that. Verses 15 and 16. Then Esther told them to reply to Mordecai, "Go, gather all the Jews who are present in Shushan and fast for me. Neither eat nor drink for 3 days, night or day. My maids and I will fast likewise. And so I will go to the king, which is against the law, and if I perish, I perish." So Esther sent yet another message to Mordecai. And this message revealed that the young Jewish queen was prepared to step out in faith. But she also required spiritual support of God's people. So Esther commissioned Mordecai to gather all the Jews in the capital city and enlist them in a 3-day fast. Scripture generally mentions fasting and prayer together. While some fast ended at sunset, Esther asked that the people fast day and night. This was a way that they could intercede for her before Almighty God, even as she prepared to intercede for them before the Persian king. An absolute fast meant no food, no drink, day or night, for 3 days. Over a 3-day period, that required a serious commitment. Esther declared that she and her female servants would also join the fast. Now, the biblical text doesn't explain why she didn't ask the male servants, such as Hathach, to participate in the fast. It may be that Esther had quietly enlisted Jewish female attendants when she became queen, so they shared her faith and heritage, not to mention the threat of the death decree. Esther promised to approach the king following the 3-day prayer and fasting, even though to do so without being summoned was against the law. Her statement, "If I perish, I perish," should not be viewed as an example of selfless resignation to fate, but rather as a declaration of bold faith in the providence of God. She left the results in the hands of God, knowing that she had little control over the action of the king. Verse 17. So Mordecai went his way and did according to all that Esther commanded him. So the conclusion demonstrates the effectiveness of Esther's decisive strategy. Mordecai didn't need further discussion. He simply went and did everything the queen ordered. Whereas Mordecai had sent a command earlier, Esther now took charge and gave order for action. Mordecai's willingness to leave his place and carry out Esther's plan indicates not only his trust in Esther, but also his recognition that only through spiritual intercession could the covenant people survive. Esther needed the prayerful partnership of her people to equip her for a life or death task. We should always reach out for spiritual support and intercession from each other as we serve the Lord here in our place. We can take action within God's providence, leaving the results to Him. We cannot control all of our external circumstances. However, we can obey and trust our sovereign Lord with whatever He deems best, knowing that He loves us and wants the best for us as His children. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just thank You so much for this message today and how it comforts our hearts, Lord, and strengthens us to know, Lord, that You are far greater than anything we can face here in this world. Father, help us to put that trust and that faith in You and to depend on You fully. Lord, help us to know in our hearts that there is nothing stronger or wiser than You. Father, we just lift You up today and thank You for how You speak to our hearts and encourage us. Father, we just lift up our service to You today, Lord, and ask that You would show us in our hearts how to glorify You as the Son of God. Lord, help us to worship You in spirit and in truth. For it is in Christ Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Don't forget our party Friday night at 6 o'clock.